The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence and said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." At this Jesus said to him, "Get away from me, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. My sisters and brothers, the Gospel of the Lord. As you can already tell from this accent, I ain't from around these parts. It is my great joy and honour to, in fact, be invited back to your parish from, I'm a Jesuit from Sydney, Australia, and thank you to Monsignor in Cambria for their wonderful and warm welcome to this parish. Our parish mission schedule is on page 5 of your booklet. I'm going to give talks over the next day. I give the same talk in the morning and repeat it at night. You can come twice if you want to, but if you die overnight, you'll go straight to heaven if you do. So it's the same talk repeated. And with all the doom and gloom about our world and the church, I actually want us to focus on joy and compassion, on faith, hope, and love. So the details are there for you in our bulletin. Let me say a word about the gospel. Preaching on this gospel 3 years ago, Pope Francis said this: after Jesus spends the 40 days in the desert, the next thing he does is go to the untouchables of his day with healing and compassion. And this is what we should do at the end of our Lenten journey. We should decide to do it at the beginning of Lent, that by journey's end we will be filled with mercy and love, not just for those who our world considers to be untouchable, but for those parts of ourselves that we may think are untouchable too. For Christ's love and mercy extends to everyone, everywhere, regardless of who they are, and touches that part of ourselves we think is unlovable. Let me tell you a story about when that Lenten theory from the Pope became practice in my own life. My first appointment as a priest was to the Jesuit parish of St. Canice's in King's Cross in Sydney. King's Cross in Sydney, as some of you may know, is the red light district of Sydney. Women in prostitution, children in prostitution, street kids, runaways, homeless, alcoholic people. Our parish was a very, very colourful Catholic congregation, I can assure you. But because my first degree is in music, I announced the first weekend I was there that I would be refounding the St. Canice's Parish Choir. Anybody who wanted to join the choir should come and see me on the sidewalk after Mass. After our 10:30 Mass, up walked a beautifully dressed woman, an extremely tall lady, but she had a midnight blue outfit and a big floral hat. And she came up and said to me, "Excuse me, Father, my name's Gloria, and I want to join the choir. I sing bass." I said, "Well, it's very hard to find basses, Gloria. You'd be very welcome. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7:30 for the first choir rehearsal. As she walked off, she stopped, turned around and said, "You realise I'm a transvestite, don't you, Father?" And I said, "Gloria, even I worked out that you're a transvestite." I said, "It's very hard to find a woman who can actually sing bass." Gloria was, without question, the worst bass I have ever heard in my entire life. In fact, the only note that she actually had of some significance was that wonderful, deep, sonorous note that some bassists can get right at the bottom of their register. So when we do an amen of a hymn or a motet, you can get amen, and it can rip through a church or a hall. Well, that note Gloria had. But word spread like wildfire around all of King's Cross that you've got to hear the transvestites singing in the Catholic Church's choir. So our congregation was more colourful than it was even normally. And one Sunday, Gloria let one of those big amens go right down the church, and two pews of her transvestite and transsexual friends jumped up in the middle of the congregation and yelled out, "You show 'em, girl!" Now, I know this will come as a shock to some of you today, but not every Catholic in the parish was coping. And eventually, some of the more traditional and conservative ones took up a petition for the parish council to kick Gloria out of the parish choir. We were told on the petition that she was making a mockery of the Mass, she was a distraction to our prayer, and the rot had to stop. Apparently, she was too untouchable for our Catholic congregation. Apparently, she wasn't welcome because she didn't fit their boxes. It got to the parish council meeting, and I was a blessed man to have as my pastor the last Irish Jesuit ever to work in Australia, Father Donald Taylor. He was 71 years of age, a wonderful pastor. And he never spoke, though, at parish council meetings. He used to say the opening prayer and the closing prayer, and that was it. And I used to challenge him about this. I said, "Donald, why don't you speak during the discussions?" And I'll never forget, one day he said, "Oh, look, I let the laity have their head, you know. I let them have their little discussions because, you know, the bottom line is this. If they decide to do something that I don't want to do, I won't be doing it anyway." Which is not the best model of governance I have ever heard in my life. And I would like to apologise right now to Monsignor for doing that Irish accent. But on this occasion, when we were just about to have the vote for whether we're keeping Gloria or making her go, and it looked as though we were going to lose the vote, the chairwoman of the parish council turned and said, "Father Donald, is there anything you'd like to say?" And do you know what that magnificent pastor said? "On this occasion, I have something to say to the lot of you. Because in the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, last I checked, our blessed Lord says, when you give a banquet, don't invite your rich friends, because you're only inviting them so you might invite you back. But when you give a banquet, the good Lord said, he said, go out into the highways and the byways and pull in the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. Now the banquet today for us is the Eucharist, especially the Sunday Eucharist. And the likes of you lot are sitting around this table right now deciding whom Christ will have at the banquet. Who do you think you are? It is Christ who invites us all. It is Christ who hosts us all. And it is Christ who sends us all out on mission. There is no one to whom that invitation is not granted, whether you like it or not. But mark me well, if you kick out Gloria from the choir whom Christ is inviting and hosting, then every Jesuit in your precious parish tomorrow will be packing up and moving out as well. He goes, we go too. Now have your little vote." We won the vote. Gloria stayed. Stay with me. Gloria came to tell me 3 months later that his wife was dying of cancer in another city and he needed to get some help to sort out his problems and return home. and I got him in to see somebody who helps with these sorts of matters. Other people have other journeys and other outcomes, but this was his story. And Gloria vanished from the parish for months, then until one day a man turned up on the rectory doorstep to say goodbye, and I didn't even know who it was until he spoke. "G'day, Father. Gordon, I've just come to say goodbye," and we shook hands. A year later, a letter arrived from Gordon, which he said, "I'd like you to read it out at the Sunday Masses if you'd care to." Care to? This is what it said. 12 months ago, I arrived home again and connected with my wife and sons. Tonight at home, with the three of us holding her, she died peacefully of the breast cancer she's had for the last 2 years. I know I wouldn't even have been here if it wasn't for the goodness of the Catholic parish at St. Canice's at King's Cross. I know it wasn't easy for some of you having me in your choir, but you believed in me even when I didn't know who I was, what I wanted, or where I needed to be. Because you hung in there with me, I was able to find out what mattered, get some help, come home, nurse my wife to her death, and now be a father to my boys in the way they deserve. Who could have thought that approaching Father Richard to sing in a choir was actually going to play itself out into reconciling a husband to a wife who was so magnificent in forgiveness and to giving back two boys their dad because they did nothing in this world to be orphans? My sisters and brothers, welcome to Lent. There is nothing in us that God's love cannot touch and heal. And there is no person in our world who is untouchable. That's what the Pope's saying. That Lent isn't just for us, it's for who we are at journey's end, that healed by God's mercy and love, we can touch them afresh with compassion and goodness. Gordon's letter finished like this. "I'm not sure, Father Richard, if you remember the very first hymn you taught us at that very first choir rehearsal. You did it because you thought and hoped that most of us would already know it. I'm singing it now because it has become completely true in my life because of your community. Because if I've understood what the hymn is all about, it really says it doesn't matter where you start. It matters where God's love can finish it." Do you know what the hymn was? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." Welcome to Lent, because it doesn't matter where we start, but where God's amazing grace can finish it. And we're privileged to be in these 40 days. Amen.
If you're going to clap my homilies, you can all get a visa to my parish in Australia. See you at the mission.